Galatians chapter 1. All right, now, we have been talking about experiencing the doctrines of Christianity and the teachings of Christianity, not just learning them, you know, as intellectually. Because you have to live these things. We've already discussed about how it is that in the gospel message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that's something you live, isn't it? Because in order to live with Christ, you must die with Christ first. Every day you're putting the old man to death, that every day you may live a new life with Christ. And this is what you're doing by faith. You're living that message. And it is experiential. Well, we started to talk a little bit about what the book of Galatians is. It's talking about the experience of being out from under the law. And how we experience these understandings that Paul is bringing forth in Galatians. Because, you know, circumcision wasn't just a mental idea. And we tend to deal with it. How many of you understand what I'm getting at? We tend to deal with it in that way. Don't we? Yeah. I was taking care of a problem there. We tend to deal with it from a mental outlook instead of actually experiencing it. Well, we were talking about, you know, what was circumcision really about? Circumcision is about getting you to join their club. In other words, they circumcision of the heart is about bringing you to Christ. But circumcision in the flesh is about becoming a Jew. It's two different things, isn't it? See, they want to bond you to them. It's the same type of thing when Jesus said to the Pharisees, you travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and in the end you make him twice the son of hell as you are. It's about joining their club. It's about becoming one of them. It's about bonding to them. And the purpose of this bond is so that they can control you. Do you understand that? The purpose of getting these people circumcised wasn't for their salvation. The purpose is to bond them and their loyalties to the circumcision party. Because parties were fighting for dominance just as they are today. It's the same way. The purpose in you being baptized into in Pentecostal holiness or into oneness Pentecostalism or the Church of Christ, it isn't because they want to baptize you into Christ. You know, all three of them churches will make you get rebaptized. If you were already a Christian and baptized somewhere else, they go, no, you've got to get rebaptized. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Or you've got to be baptized into the Church of Christ because there is no other church and all of this. See, it isn't about them bringing you to salvation. It's about them having you do an action that bonds you to them. Can you all see what I'm saying? Because it's about dominance. It's about control. It's not about the truth. And every one of these denominations have their own way to bind you to them, not Christ. And it's a shared, you notice what it is. It's not just something mental, it's a shared experience. But the shared experience, you know, it's either a physical bond or a spiritual bond. Their shared experience, you know, a physical bond is a strong bond, huh? Oh, yes, but we do need to be baptized. But are you baptized into Christ, or are you baptized into a denomination, you know? Yeah, please don't misunderstand. I'm definitely not saying anything against baptism. Well, I want you to keep that in mind as we're going through this here in Galatians 1. And let us look at the propriety that Paul points us to. Okay? I want you to get the real feel, the real experience of the book of Galatians, because it is about our shared experience. And there's one that builds you up in Christ and one that doesn't, one that takes you away from Christ. And this is really the heart of the book of Galatians. Paul said, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned, as we have already said. So now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, the one the Galatians accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Now notice what he's doing there. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Because it is a different gospel to bind you to somebody in the flesh. Can you see that? That is a different gospel. You are bound to Christ by circumcision of the heart. Our shared experience is in the Holy Ghost. Our shared experience is not in these physical things. We're not looking for a physical bond. And the fact is, most churches rely on a physical bond. And it's all about winning the approval of men. See, your peer group must approve of you, right? People work hard to win the approval of their peer group. And I don't care if it's their race. I don't care if it's their church. I don't care if it's their club, their baseball team, their work, you know, where you work, the company you're in. Those are all physical bonds, and some of them are extremely strong. But every one of them have something in common. It's about controlling you. See, if you work hard to win their approval, then if you're working hard to win their approval, then you're not trying to win God's approval, are you? And the incentive is to be one of the group, one of the guys. How many of you in school wanted to be that? I mean, we all did, didn't we? We all wanted to fit in. Nobody wanted to be on the outside. There's always initiations. Isn't that true? Whatever group you join, there's always initiations. There's always rites of passage. Well, you see, it's nothing so mundane with Christ. See, it's about a change of nature. That's your entry card. That's your entry card, by the power of God. You're not just joining another human group. This isn't the Jews versus the Greeks here. And that's what these circumcision guys wanted to make it about, huh? They wanted to make it that you'd be, you know, in order to be a Christian, you had to be a Jew first. In other words, you had to join the Jewish religion for them to accept you. And you had to win their approval by doing what they wanted you to do. That's what the circumcision turns out to be, huh? An initiation. It's not about a change of nature. It's not about a repentance. It's not about salvation. It's about joining their group. All right. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached to you is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, other than the obvious of what we've understood before, that Paul walked by revelation, not by theology, not by what men thought or the thoughts of men. But also, he's telling you very clearly that he didn't get any of this because he joined a certain group. And he's telling you very clearly that this has nothing to do with the group of the Christians versus the group of the Jews. Read in between the lines here. This doesn't have anything to do with this. I didn't learn this from any man. I didn't learn this from any organization. This isn't something a man made up. I was taught it. I wasn't taught it. In other words, I wasn't initiated. In other words, I wasn't indoctrinated. but I received it rather by revelation of Jesus Christ through the Spirit. See, he puts the propriety back where it belongs, doesn't he? For you've heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. In other words, when I was in that club, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism. Notice he doesn't say, in God. Notice he doesn't say that, in God. He said I was advancing in Judaism, the club, beyond many Jews of my own age, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. And that's that indoctrination, isn't it? But when God, who set me apart from birth, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. In other words, even as great of men as the apostles might have been where God is concerned, but Paul's dependence was not on them. It was upon Christ. And this is the whole point. You know, apostles and stuff, it's not about joining their club either, is it? It's not about joining men, it's about joining God. It's not about any of these fleshly traditions of what club I belong to, what family I came from physically, what my racial background is. This isn't the Irish versus the English or the Scottish. This isn't the Jews versus the Gentiles. This is about being of Adam or not of Adam. That was the point. And what happens when they focus on all these other little things? They take the focus away from Christ. And the fact that Paul was sent to preach to the Gentiles shows that this is a gospel of inclusion, not exclusion. Not based upon anybody's race or anybody's club or anybody's physical family. Based not upon any fleshly pretext or criterion whatsoever. It's time to leave that stuff behind. How many of you start to see a bigger picture here? After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter, and I stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. And I assure you before God that what I'm writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia, and I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report that the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me. 14 years later, this chapter 2, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas, and I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. Now, what's the point of this? Notice that he refers to it as the gospel that he preaches among the Gentiles. He's going a long way to make sure that this gospel does not only belong to the Jews. Can y'all see that? He's going a long way here. That even though he went up there to talk to Peter, where everything started, and even though he had great respect for Peter and James and all of them, he makes the point, this is not, I came to tell them about the gospel I preached to the Gentiles. He wants to make sure that everybody understands this is the same gospel. The same gospel that's preached to the Jews. I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised. Now he went to them, but he wasn't going to let any Jewish influence him. In other words, Remember, you know, I want you to compare two things that he says here. All right? That are verses apart. In verse 17, he says, I did not consult with any man, verse 17, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. In other words, I went to the Gentiles. Right? I didn't go and consult with the apostles. Then he comes back and he says, you know, after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. And I saw none of the other apostles, only James the Lord's brother, and I assure you before God, what I'm writing you is no lie. In other words, he's trying to tell you that the apostles did not influence him in a Jewish way. And that's what he means by this when he says, I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. What does that mean? It means that he had to get the apostles' take that they were all on the same page. And that it wasn't just a Jewish thing. Can everybody see that? Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised. And the question comes, why would he assume that they were not? He didn't assume anything, but he had to know. Right? He had to know that they were on the same page. Because the fact are, there were people of the circumcision party claiming that they're from Jerusalem, teaching this everywhere. He had a different revelation than that, that it's more than just a Jewish thing, didn't he? So what do you got to do to get that straight? You know what you heard from God. But how many of you know that you've heard from God, but yet you still check the facts of the things around you to make sure that you're not a crazy person? Can y'all see that? You still check all the facts of the things around you to make sure that you're not a crazy person. Because everything has to add up. Right? That's why we have two witnesses. We have the Bible and we have the Spirit. The Spirit tells us and confirms what the Bible says, and the Bible confirms what the Spirit says, and we have safety there. Because if we have revelation that differs from what the Scriptures say, we're in trouble. Right? And if the Scriptures are going against what the Spirit says, there's a problem. Right? So he goes up to make sure, right, that they're all on the same page. I mean, when you see all these people teaching circumcision, claiming to come from Jerusalem, aren't you going to wonder what's going on in Jerusalem? Aren't you going to wonder, have the apostles left it or have I left it? Right? So I went to those who seemed to be leaders. I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. In other words, what does he mean, was compelled? He's not talking about what Titus felt. He's talking about the fact that the apostles did not compel him to be circumcised. Get it? I went up there to share with them the gospel I preached to the Gentiles, which is one of, they don't have to be circumcised. I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing and that the apostles are on the same page with me. That something hadn't went wacky in Jerusalem, or that I hadn't went wacky somewhere. And we got there, and I've got Timothy with me, and they didn't compel him to be circumcised. They accepted him just as being a brother, right? Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus and make us slaves. And we didn't give in to them for a minute, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were, makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. You know, those who seem to be leaders, those who seem to be important, didn't matter to Paul. He was saying that they didn't add anything to my message. In other words, there's nothing that they can tell me that God hadn't already told me. On the contrary, I saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars. Now I want you to notice those who seem to be leaders, those reputed to be pillars, those who seem to be important. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about the apostles. And that they didn't add anything to his message. But they did confirm that they're all on the same page. Can y'all see that? Paul's saying, I was sure of the gospel. You know? But we have to get this straightened out for the whole church. We all got to be on the same page. James, Peter, and John, and those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. And all they asked us was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. In other words, he's trying to say, they didn't have to straighten me out. They didn't add anything to my ministry. What I heard from God was true. And I didn't doubt that. I didn't go there to Jerusalem because I doubted it. But we had to make sure. Isn't that what the Bible says? Make sure of all things and hold fast to what is good. Lest we had run the race in vain, as he says. Everybody with me? The whole point is to make sure that we're not two different teams. That we are one body. That there isn't a separate gospel for Jews and Gentiles. That the object here is not to turn Gentiles into Jews physically. And he wanted. So what did he want made clear? I didn't go to those who seemed to be important to join their club. I went there to ascertain if not with we weren't in the same club to start out. I wasn't unsure of what God had given me, and these men added nothing to my ministry. But the fact is, they didn't even compel Titus, who was a Greek, to get circumcised, and they received us. They give us the right hand of fellowship, and they acknowledge the grace given me to do what I'm doing. So what does that mean? We are on the same page. Everybody understand what's going on here. Now, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Because before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. In other words, he was afraid of what other people thought. Now, I want you to be clear on this. He's not saying that the Apostle James led the circumcision group. He said these certain men came from James. Right? But there were those in Jerusalem who were of the circumcision group, and everybody talks. Now, he was used to eating with the Gentiles, and he accepted, just like he accepted Paul and Barnabas for what they were doing, he had also accepted the Gentiles as his brothers. It was clear. He used to eat with the Gentiles, and when these men from James arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he's afraid of those who belong to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined with him in this hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. In other words, by him, even though he mentally agreed, that Gentiles were equal with Jews in the faith, when these certain men from James said, it didn't say that they were even of the circumcision party. It just says that he was afraid of the circumcision party. He was afraid of what they would think, because he's eating, you know, he's a Jew eating with Gentiles, and that's forbidden. That's the custom if you're just straight Judaism. And in the beginning, in the early church, remember, before the gospel went to the Gentiles, it was still looked down on, wasn't it, to eat with Gentiles? Look at the climate he's in. But you see, what he did is he made the Gentile believers feel like they were second class. Why? Because they weren't members of the Jewish club. They weren't of the circumcision. That's the way he made them feel, whether he meant to make them feel that or not. And you see, the others, because he is a leader of the church, the other Jewish believers were misled by that action. They emulated him. Well, he knows what he's doing. He's the apostle. So he separates himself from the Gentiles, so we better too. It was one of those unspoken things. You just do it, right? How many have been in that situation? There's somebody in the particular group or outside the group you're in, and everybody avoids them, and you do it just because everybody else does, because you don't want to be part of the controversy. Right? And how does that make the other people feel? It makes them feel like they don't belong, huh? All this preaching about how we're equal with you and how Jesus loves us and has accepted the Gentiles as well, and then you're going to pull back with us like you can't eat with us all of a sudden when you've been eating with us all along? He was worried about what men thought. He wasn't worried about what God thought. And this is how strong, and I'm using this, and I'm sure this is why Paul brings this up, this is how strong that those fleshly bonds can be. How many of you as a Christian have shut up in the middle of your friends? When you became a Christian and your little group wasn't Christian, how many of you have shut up to avoid draw attention to yourself about telling them about Jesus or letting them know you as a Christian? Or seeing them indulging in something that you knew was wrong and you were afraid to say anything to them, right? We've all been there in those kind of situations, haven't we? Because that's how strong that bond of our peers is. That's how strong a bond it is. How many of you would be ridiculed in your family for going a different way? Those bonds are pretty strong, and they control you, don't they? We see all the time where people in Hindu families and Muslim families won't marry outside of their, you know, they'll marry somebody they don't truly want to marry because they're afraid of what their family thinks. Those bonds can be pretty strong, huh? And it doesn't matter what kind of group it is. If everybody in your group is doing a certain thing and you draw back from it, aren't they going to look at you like, aren't you one of us anymore? And that's what you're afraid of. We're afraid of being excluded. It was no different with Peter here. But here, can you see the demonstration here that Paul is laying out of how strong those physical bonds can be to seduce you away from the truth? And doesn't this show you that Christianity is very much experiential? It's not just what you mentally think. It envelops every part of your life. This is why people's actions do not line up with what they say they believe. Because there's a difference in being a Christian mentally and being a Christian experientially. You've got to live the message. You can't just have a bunch of doctrines in your head you say you believe. Isn't that exactly what was going on with Peter? Is it or not? When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, in front of them all, and here's where we can see this rule in action. What's done in public has to be dealt with in public. What's done in private can be dealt with in private. But you see, this affected everybody. And so it had to be undone in front of everybody. Paul couldn't just take Peter aside and say, hey, I think you're messing up, Peter. Because Peter had done it in front of everyone. He'd withdrew from meeting with the Gentiles. And all the Jews and all the Jewish believers followed his suit. This had to be addressed right then and there in public. I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How is it then you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And that's the whole point, isn't it? See, observing the law can be easily acquainted with observing your race, your family, your company, your club, over what you say you believe. Because then you acknowledge that those physical ties are stronger than that circumcision of the heart you have in Christ. That's what you're acknowledging. Is that true or not true? And you show that you are yourself under the law then. Because you're still living according to, you know, your group's rules. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Don't hang out with them. Don't talk to them. Don't do that. See, the law is experiential. It's not just words on stone. It made them truly a separate people. It made them a different club. But because they focused on the wrong things. They focused on the physical things instead of what the physical things represented. Can y'all see what I'm saying? If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Now, I want to change this a little bit. And you tell me if it still fits. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild the worldly relationships I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to those relationships. Right? I died to the flesh, to those clubs, to the law and the rules that they work by. Get it? That I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I lived in the body, or to that club, or to that race, or to that religion, or to that family. The life I lived to that, I lived by, the life I live in the body, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained by those physical bonds, observing the law, then Christ died for nothing. Do you see the comparison? How many of you get it? See, the overall thing, is it doesn't change. These groups, whether it be families, whether it be the Ku Klux Klan, whether it be the Boy Scouts, whether it be the Methodists or the Baptists. These groups have certain expectations for you. There's initiations for you to belong to them. Right? And they expect you to toe their law, their line. Don't they? And it's a strong bond. It's about controlling you. Well, isn't that exactly what Satan did by the law? Through the law, he bound you. It was a strong tie, wasn't it? It kept you a slave to the sin nature. Through the law, right? It bound you to the flesh's desires. See, there's no difference in being bound to the flesh's desires and the group's desires. But you see, it's different. As Christians, we're not bound to the group's desires. We're bound to Christ's desires. We're bound to God's desires. The purpose of the gospel is to bind you to Christ. But they have taken the gospel and perverted it to bind you to them, is what Paul is saying here of the Jews, of the Jewish believers, of the circumcision party. They've taken it and perverted it to bind you to them. Can y'all see it? And it's the same way, and I don't care what it is. I don't care whether it's the Church of Christ. I don't care whether it's the Pentecostals. I don't care if it's Oneness Pentecostalism. I don't care who it was, the Baptist, the Methodist. They do the same thing. They indoctrinate you into their group. They initiate you into their group. And though it may not be circumcision, it is a circumcision of a type. Whether they use baptism or their idea of sanctification or you accepting their doctrine. Are you wearing what they tell you to wear? See, it's all about being a part of their group so that they can control you. It's not about Christ. And this has got to become clear to you in these last days. Because this practice, what they were doing, the circumcision party, is alive and well today in 38,000 different denominations. Because they want to use you for them. And they want to control you. And if you follow their indoctrinations and their initiations in order to belong to them, then that's who you belong to, not Christ. I went to a Baptist church and I was going there for about 3 or 4 weeks, you know, 6 weeks or so. And then the pastor said, we'd like you to join the church one day. I thought I was already a member of the church. I was here all the time. You know, in my mind, there's one bride of Christ, and we're just a congregation of it, you know. I thought I was already a member of the church. They go, oh, well, the congregation has to vote on you. Congregation has to vote on me? Well, you're telling me that I'm good enough for Jesus because I'm his child, but you're not sure if I'm good enough for you. Sounds to me like you want me to join you, not join Jesus. I've already joined Jesus. See, and every one of them, they have, when they have these kinds of initiations, when they have these kinds of rituals, when they have these kinds of things, it's about joining their club. It's not about joining Christ. They've even managed to turn being born again into a ritual. Say this prayer and you're one of us. Is that what being a Christian is? You said a prayer and now you're one of them. Now you're a Christian. Or is it about truly experientially submitting your life to God every day through the gospel of Christ, by the Spirit of Christ? They will bind you experientially to the flesh. And they do it with these kinds of initiations. They do it with these kinds of indoctrinations. The same way that this was done in the Galatians' time. Nothing has changed. And if you do it, if you give in to it for a minute, you'll become their slave, and Christ and grace will be of no use to you at all. And we're going to find that out as we finish the book of Galatians. that's a good place to stop. Questions or comments, please.